All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. John Phillips, you are on the bottom. Good to see you. The picket fence is on. Snodod 311, D9597. Itchin McGroin is on. Sun Gun is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Gamilhausen is on. Prayerworks 2 is on. Aaron is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Aphrodites is on. Motown JBH is on. Fire Pits is on. Mike Griffin Griffith is on. Neon Widow is on. Jinlee 78 is on. K-Sim 009 is on. Wendell Levitt is on. Pops Freaking McGroin is on. Sunwoo Suwoo 45 is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Mara Z is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Sean Hill to Bidal is on. The one and only Nude Monk is on. Already Rumble Ranting. Thank you, Nude Monk. Rump Pierre 1 is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Wendell Lovett is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Love you guys. We're going to hop right to this now. It's all things I titled tonight, More on Kamala. See if you just do that really quick. More on Kamala. More on Kamala. More on Kamala.
Yeah.
So there you go. So anyway, it's been a campaign of joy, or a strength through joy campaign. And most of you have already seen this already. This is all over social media. And it's like I've already, you guys can already put that side by side. But anyway, so if you're wondering where this originated from, remember the big lie? Where does the big lie come from? Who is it that's always accusing people of the big lie? That would be the Democratic Party. Now, the big lie came from Mein Kampf, came from Joseph Goebbels and Mein Kampf from Hitler. The big lie. It was aimed at Israel's, aimed at Israelis, aimed at Jewish people. That is the big lie. So notice this. This is something I've told you for many years now, well, many, four, that we've had the podcast. For 4 years, demons are going to demon, and demons never change. They never change. The 1930s and 40s demons are the same demons that are influencing the 2024 Democratic Party. Because the Democratic Party, for all intents and purposes, is exactly the same as the Nazi Party. Tell me the line of delineation, please. They're planning camps all over the country. We know that. We don't do that. They butcher the unborn to the tune of 1 to 2 million per year in the United States. 40 to 42 million per year around the world. So what did we have in common? Who confiscates guns? Now, all of this is what Hitler did. Who was it that did mass experimentations on their citizenry? That would be Hitler. Who's done that? That would be the Democratic Party. Who banned speech? That would be the Democratic Party. Who did lockdowns for illnesses? Mm-hmm. That would be Hitler. Again, for typhoid, and he locked up only the Jews, yep, saying that they were super spreaders. Does that sound familiar to you? Did we do any of that? No, we haven't done any of that. Right. So it's not very surprising that they reach down back into the coffers of Nazism and pull out another one, Strength Through Joy campaign. It was a German NSDAP-operated leisure organization in Nazi Germany. It was part of the German Labor Front, which is always the name of Democratic leftard parties.
Wow.
Leftist parties are always called labor parties. Always. It's always the same. The Labor Party right now is running Great Britain, where if you put up the wrong Facebook post, you're looking at 1.5 years in prison. Mm-hmm. If you rape a 13-year-old girl, you're looking at no time. You're looking at being released on your own recognizance. That is absolute fact. The Labor Party is always the same, because demons are going to demon. And I mean, I'm talking legitimate demons here, folks. I'm not talking about, you know, people's, you know, bad side of people's personalities and the human spirit or anything. I'm talking about legitimate demons here, because demons influence people who allow them to influence them. And the demons from the 1930s and the 1940s that influenced the Democratic Party, that influenced Stalin, that influenced Mao and Pol Pot and everybody else, is influencing the mass killers that is the Democratic Party. Well, you're looking at, again, you look at the vaccine experimentation. Dr. Peter McCullough is believing that the United States will or has already lost 600,000 people from the vaccinations. We don't do any of these things, yet we are always equated with the Nazi Party. And they called the Nazi Party alt-right when they were the National Socialist Party. How are you alt-right when you're the National Socialist Party? And notice how none of this ever happens with us. Have you noticed it? I mean, Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Prime Minister of Canada. What was her lineage? Nazism. Klaus Schwab's lineage? His own daddy. I mean, an esteemed multi-Jewish killer Nazi. And then, of course, you had Justin Trudeau, who we all know is the son of Fidel Castro. I mean, they're twins. Absolute twinsies. He looks nothing like his parents. He looks a little bit like his mom, but nothing at all like his dad. And who does he have come to the parliamentary floor in Canada? A Nazi. Along with Chrystia Freeland, whose lineage is Nazism. And when they get caught, they do a national apology, pseudo-apology. So they're good. Listen, demons are going to demon. And again, I mean legitimate demons. This is what's happening right now. If you don't believe it, start reading your Bible and start believing what's true. You got two forces. You got God and you got the devil, and you choose which one. And by the way, there is no in between. None. There is no playing both sides of the fence. If you're playing both sides of the fence, you're on the devil's side. It's as simple as that. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Oh, is it a Western Lensman video? Am I in the right spot? Western Lensman video. You don't believe me? You don't believe that it's a Strength Through Joy campaign? Well, here it is. Play for me, Will.
The one thing that I will not forgive them for is they're trying to steal the joy from this country.
The joy felt by Americans backing the Harris-Walz ticket.
We are joyful warriors.
Being joyful is part of the American identity.
The joy factor.
Campaign of joy.
You're talking about radical joy.
It is downright joyful.
It looks like a joyous rally. It looks like a joyous occasion.
A real zeal and joy in the campaign.
The joy that you're bringing back to the country.
Joyful, exuberant. Rally.
Thank you for bringing back the joy.
Power of joy.
Hope and joy.
Something incredibly joyful.
She does it all with a sense of joy.
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 Joy. Joy.
Imagine that. American politics. Joyful again.
There you go. Just to prove it to you, that's exactly where the Democratic Party campaign. Kamala. I can't get Harris, because all I think of her name as Kamala. I never think of her as the last name of Harris. So the Kamala Walz campaign, that's where they are. A campaign of joy, just like Adolf Hitler, of course, because they believe exactly the same things. They confiscate guns. They do experimentations on their citizenry. They ban speech and they do mass killings. That's them. We have nothing in common with that at all. You and I, absolutely nothing. Chad Prather video. You think that's the only thing? Or that's the only dictatorship they have something in common with? Watch this. Play for me, Will.
So back in the 1950s, the Chinese developed a slogan, the Three Red Banners, which was for the propagation and building of the socialist state in China. It stood for the People's Commune, the socialist construction, and the Great Leap Forward. Now, if you look around at some things that are going on with Democrats these days, I mean, there's the DNC. I don't know if you see the Three Red. It goes back a little ways to this guy right here. That's interesting. Oh, and then when his successors, which was actually Obama 2.0, Three Red Banners. And look, even C-SPAN got in on it. Interesting stuff. If you just pay attention, it's right in front of you.
See, I told you, demon's demon. I told you, who else did the demons influence? Mao Zedong. Remember that? 50 years ago, you had the Three Red Banners. Now, the Three Red Banners are, now you're like, this is all coincidence. It's all coincidence, really? The Three Red Banners show up at this year's DNC, the Biden-Harris campaign, the Obama campaign, and even their own Pravda Media, C-SPAN, all have the three banners, because demons are going to demon. What's happened in China? Oh, they've only killed 500 million of their own people. How many have we killed since, and I don't mean we, you and I, Roe v. Wade. How many has Roe v. Wade killed in America? Averaging 1 to 2 million per year without California and New York reporting. So they always put it around 900,000 per year. But that's without the number one and number two states reporting all of their abortions. So really, we know it's between 1 and 2 million per year in the United States since Roe was passed. So you're looking at 40 to 60 million to 80 million people that they've killed. And you want to talk to me about Stalin? You want to talk to me about Hitler in comparison to Bill Gates and his daddy on the board of Planned Parenthood? To the DNC? Oh, man. Does the DNC, can the DNC really, really even compare to Hitler? Can Hitler compare to the DNC? Absolutely. Maybe the DNC's worse. And you look at it worldwide, they are worse because it's not just 1 to 2 million abortions per year in the United States. It's 41.2 million abortions per year, according to UN statistics. That, I mean, you want to talk about Stalin? That's per year.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Think about it. You just go 2024. So you got 40 million, 80 million, 120 million, 160 million, 200 million people in 5 years. You want to talk to me about Joseph Stalin or Hitler? I love it when Democrats talk about it. They'll never give you a response except to say, that doesn't have anything to do with our conversation right now. They talk about Republicans and being Adolf Hitler. I always just send them. Really? We haven't killed 200 million people in the last 5 years. You have. You've killed all those people. You want to talk about dictators? You want to talk about mass killers? You do talk about the Democratic Party. Very simple. All right, onward with Kamala here. More on Kamala. Sean Spicer video. Harris hopes you don't see this. Play it for me.
You know, the range of how many jobs they would take away for a variety of reasons, maybe the largest is the birth-death model for businesses, was going to be somewhere between 350 and 1,000 and 1 million. It comes in at 818,000.
There you go. Yeah, side by side if you can. There you go, guys. Perfect. So there it is. I'm no angel tweet. I just wanted to back this up with the numbers. So there you saw. And by the way, what bastion of right-wing conservatism was that video that I just showed you? That would be CNBC that just said this. Election year shocker, U.S. jobs revised down. Remember last night when I reported this, you're like, Tom, you talked about this last night. The exact numbers weren't in. The numbers last night were 280,000 to 1 million. They didn't know which one it was. It's our glorious government. Glorious government. We have no idea. It's just like the COVID numbers. How many people died of COVID worldwide? Somewhere between 5 and 18 million. So the closest you can get is 13 million. That's the best you can do. That's where $35 trillion worth of debt goes for people who can't even decipher between 5 and 18 million. Same thing here, of course. We've been getting these illustrious numbers out of the Biden administration for the last year because this runs from April of 23 to March of 2024. So for the last year, we've been getting all these numbers. And I'm just making these up off the top of my head, but I'm just telling you. Remember, you've seen them all. We had added 160,000 jobs in the month of January. We added 203,000 jobs in the month of February. Oh, wow, we added 204,000 in the month of April. They were all lies. Yeah. Every one of them were lies. Bold-faced, freaking lies. Now, why are they coming forth now? Because the people that have put out these lies don't want to go to prison. That's why. So they're hedging their bets right now, thinking Trump's going to win because Vegas odds has Trump winning. So they think. And by the way, all these polls that you see are absolutely bogus, worthless polls. The real polling has Trump up, and with RFK about to join the ticket.
Yep.
Watch out, baby. Watch out. There will be. You know what they're going to call the DNC, Democratic National Convention? You know what they're going to call it? The Trump bump. It's going to be, remember, most people, they get a bump out of their convention. This convention will be the only one in history where the opponent gets the bump. It'll be called the Trump bump DNC, especially when you have somebody announcing your delegates who's a man dressed as a woman and gives their pronouns as they're doing it. You're gone. Americans are looking at that. You think that resonates with the black community? I see the black community coming alive. The black community is coming alive and saying, you know what? We don't really resonate with a grown man, fully penis man who would love to twerk his junk in front of an 8-year-old. We don't really resonate with a man saying what his pronouns are and reading off the delegate count for his state. We don't really resonate with that because most blacks, for some reason, they're very conservative, but for some reason vote Democrat. Well, maybe they're waking up now seeing that, you know what, black, whether it's people they've elected that are black in their own communities that have done nothing for them, or maybe they're just seeing the Democrats on the whole have done nothing for them, that color doesn't matter. Color doesn't matter at all. But this is what matters, our numbers. The election year shocker, U.S. jobs revised down 818,000, nearly a million. Second worst revision in American history. Come on, guys, let's give them an applaud now. Come on, come on. Biden administration, another one. Another record. Congratulations to the Biden administration. One record after another. Second worst revision in history. In history since 776. 1776, the second worst in history. The big lie, there it is, 818,000 U.S. jobs that Biden and Harris claim to have created aren't actually there. Ghost jobs. And by the way, the ones that are, we covered this last night. Here it is. Over that time frame, actually, it's from 2019 to 2024. Ready? And it's all blamed on Donald Trump. Donald Trump was only in office for 1 year out of the last five. Boom, right? And from 2000, and then you had the whole COVID thing. So you think about this, from 2019 to 2024, American citizen jobs, jobs that have gone to American citizens, net loss of 193,000 jobs. Didn't they tell you that you were gaining jobs?
Yeah.
Don't you love it when the Democratic politicians, when they do street interviews, somebody says, you know what, I have a whole lot less money. And Don Lemon says, you know, that's not actually true. How's it not actually true when I actually have less money, Donnie?
Yeah.
Because you're Pravda Media? Because Karine Jean-Pierre says from the press secretary's office for the White House that it's not as bad as you think? I can tell whether it's bad. I'm out here buying stuff. I'm not insulated by $1 billion. I'm not insulated by millions of dollars where I never have to do anything and still get millions of dollars. I'm not insulated like that and gaining hundreds of thousands of dollars of interest per year. So inflation doesn't matter to you, Don Lemon. Nobody really cares in your circle of multi-millionaires who claim to be advocates for the poor. And by the way, I love millionaires. I want to be a millionaire. I have no problem with prosperity. What I hate is millionaires acting like they're run-of-the-mill people, average, everyday, middle-class people, and they act like they're advocates for them, like Michelle Obama, giving her story there at the DNC. Remember the story? Talking about how her mom had a certain amount of angst towards rich people, animosity towards rich people, because they took more than their fair share. But Michelle herself is worth between $70 and $100 million. The Obamas themselves are worth between $300 and $500 million.
Yeah.
They live in three mansions, DC, Hawaii, and Martha's Vineyard. And Martha's Vineyard, they're the only black family there. And when the illegal alien, remember when the illegal alien showed up? Where was Michelle? Where was Big Mike? Where was Big Mike? Where was she as their advocate when the illegal aliens showed up on Martha's Vineyard? Remember they were bussed there by Abbott or DeSantis or somebody? Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, where was she out? Where was she out with a picket sign saying, keep them. We want them all to stay. Why didn't she put up a big tent in her yard? Always talk about, we're going to build a bigger tent and not bigger walls. Remember? We're going to have a bigger dinner table and not bigger walls. All Democrat. Where is your conviction in action? Where are your actions matching your alleged convictions? Or are your convictions just bold-faced freaking lies like everything else? So that, you know, so here's, this is the lies right here. And I've told you this over and over again, that whenever you see that jobs report, know that it will be revised down. And again, I said this last night, but most people never see the revision because they have lives. The front page is Biden Harris added 200,000 jobs. Understand that it gets revised down to about 40,000 jobs every time. Mm-hmm. And here's my last stat for you. So in the 5 years of 2019 to 2024, Americans, when I say Americans, I mean American citizens. Americans have a net loss of 193,000 jobs. But don't worry, because illegal aliens have a net gain of 2.9 million jobs in that 5 years. So you wonder where all the jobs went? There they are. That's it. Let's go to the next one. RNC research video, right, Will? Is that where I'm at?
Yep.
Okay, Harris, Biden. So remember all these numbers. Jobs have been revised down. So they said basically that they added 1.2 million jobs. Remember? They've been revised down. They lost out of the 1 million they said they added, they just lost a mere 818,000 of them. Now, here's their commerce secretary. Watch her response. Play for me.
You hear that. Do you potentially think that this new numbers could be a liability for this campaign?
No. When I hear that, first of all, I don't believe it because I've never heard Donald Trump say anything truthful.
It is, though, from the Bureau of Labor.
I'm not familiar with that.
It came from the Bureau of Labor. It came from her administration. She's the Commerce Secretary. It came from the Bureau of Labor. And Gina Raimondo says, I don't believe it. So you don't believe Joe Biden? You don't believe Kamala Harris? You don't believe the Democrat who runs the Bureau of Labor? The deep statist Democrat that runs the Bureau of Labor? You don't believe it? It was put out by their own numbers. That would be akin to my wife telling me, you know what, Tom? Our mortgage is this. I don't believe it.
Okay.
Okay, that's great. She has some, I mean, think about what level you have to reach of having absolutely no dignity to behave like that. I don't believe it. It came from you. It would be like Joe Biden not believing what the White House said. It would be like Trump not believing what the Trump campaign said. It would be like Trump not believing what Melania said. Your own labor Bureau of Labor, whatever it's called, they're the ones who told you that.
Yeah.
They're the ones who put out the statistics. And the Commerce Secretary of the same administration, these are all people that meet together. This is the Biden administration, the Bureau of Labor, Commerce Secretary, the Secretary over Labor, they all meet together at the White House. So I guess they're going to sit across from each other, and she's going to look them in the eye and says, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. That would be like the Joint Chief of Staff saying to Lloyd Austin, giving him a military stat, I don't believe you. It's his Joint Chief of Staff. I mean, you're like, Tom, you just belabor these points too long. But it's because it doesn't make any sense to me. If she would have just simply said, you know what? Yeah, it's bad. We're going to fix it. Okay, that's one thing. But to say, I don't believe it? I mean, it's literally like you getting a bill and you just saying, I don't believe it. Even though you know you spent the money. It would be like you booking a hotel room and then it charges on your credit card $200. I don't believe it. It's absolutely nonsensical. The galactic reaches of absolute idiocy astound me on the Democratic left. And how can anybody vote for these people? All right, Cernovich tweet. I just want to show you what will happen if Harris Waltz actually wins. Now, a lot of people don't believe it. This is what Raimondo would say. I don't believe this. It's absolutely true. This is what they want. This is what they want. This is what's called unrealized capital gains. They want to thrust upon America, inflict upon America, unrealized capital gains. What on earth does that mean? Cernovich does a brilliant job explaining it. You pay $250,000 for a house. Zillow now says it's worth $500,000. $500,000 fair market value for your $250,000 house. So $250,000 cost basis equals $250,000 unrealized capital gains. You have to pay taxes on that every year.
Mm-hmm.
Did everybody get that? And so you would have to pay 25% of $250,000. Get this now for everybody in this room that owns a house and everybody that's watching this that owns a house. And I doubt because I'm preaching to the red-pilled choir right now. But I'm just saying everyone needs to realize the stipulations, the ramifications of Kamala Harris being president. So all of us who own a house, if we actually gain value, so let's just use Cernovich's numbers here. So you gain $250,000. That never happens. It does in Florida all the time. People gain and lose on their real estate values all the time.
Yeah.
So you gain $250,000. Well, you have to pay taxes on that year, even though you didn't sell your house. Unrealized capital gains tax.
Ridiculous.
So you end up paying $60,000 if you gain $250,000, even though you didn't gain $260,000 because you didn't sell your house. But even though it says that you gained $250,000. You now have to pay taxes on that. And those taxes, you just owe just that year. I mean, it would be no problem, right, guys?
Yeah.
It'd be no problem to pay an extra $62,500, would it?
No.
Because now this is the way, to understand this. This is how you bury the middle class. Because, listen, we hate the tax rate. All of us in this room are paying 20 to 30% in taxes. Somewhere in there, all right? 20 to 32% in taxes. Everybody in this room. And depending on the goods, and I'm not even counting sales tax or any of that. I'm talking about income tax. That goes up, that goes down. And you put on Will, Aaron, or Tom, and you say, okay, you're paying $3,000 more this year in tax. It sucks, but we could all absorb it.
Yeah.
Okay, but how in the world are you going to pay $62,500? Just think about it. If your house just gained $80,000 in value, $80,000 in value, you'd have to pay $20,000 in taxes.
Yeah.
Or you're going to freaking federal prison. That's a fact. This is how they confiscate your houses with BlackRock circling it like a vulture and send you into 15-minute cities. Right here. Yep. Leverage you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point to all commerce controlled by them with a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. That's the point of all. Revelation chapter 13 and 14. Just wanted to see. I wanted everybody to see that. Go to the next one for me, Will. EJ and Tony tweet. Federal debt. This is yesterday. What's the date today, Aaron? 22nd or 21st?
21st.
So this was August 20th, one day. Federal debt jumped $38 billion in one day.
Wow.
This is where we're at. This is where we're at. This is what the Democratic Party and the Rhino establishment Republicans are doing to us. $38 billion in one day. Trump's wall, $8 billion. He built half of it, built close to 60% of it until Biden sold all the leftover wall parts for pennies on the dollar. $38 billion the debt went up in one day, breaching $35.2 trillion for the first time. We're going to breeze past $36 trillion before year's end. I thought we would already be at there. Matter of fact, I thought we were already past $36 trillion. I'm sure shocked we're not. But we'll be at $36 trillion by the end of the year. And let me just ask everybody, we've got 880 people watching right now. Name in the chat the benefits that you've gotten out of that $35.2 trillion worth of debt. What have you gotten out of it? All it is crony capitalism. It's taxation being redispersed to Democratic Party donors. That's all that's going on. That is the entire country. It's very easy. Listen, the Bible summarizes it all, and the Bible makes life easy. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It's as very, it's simple as that. Lies and death and destruction and poverty all comes from the love of money. People, and what they do in democratic circles is they create their own oligarchy. They name it America, or they name it democracy. And when you attack their oligarchy, they say that you're attacking democracy in America. All right, let's go to the next one. Real America's Voice video. 3.5 years later, this is all about moron Kamala. 3.5 years later, we're not forgetting what happened in Afghanistan, where 13 American servicemen and women were butchered at the Abbey Gate by a Unabomber in the sights of a military, one of a U.S. military sniper, and nobody would give him the go to shoot, and they knew about that Unabomber 12 hours in advance. 3.5 years later, and Biden-Harris administration will not say Afghanistan. You have not heard the word Afghanistan. You will not hear the word Afghanistan at the DNC. Not one time. Where are all the Gold Star families? Where are any Gold Star families testifying at the DNC? Don't think so. Are they speaking? No, they're not going to do that, because it would expose the malfeasance of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Mark Milley, Lloyd Austin, and CENTCOM Commander McKenzie. They won't do it. It's like that last video that I showed on the pregame. I mean, Donald Trump says, as soon as I'm in office, I expect all of your resignations on my desk by noon on the 20th of January, 2025. 3.5 years later, the Biden-Harris administration will not say Afghanistan or the 13 names who perished. Matter of fact, Joe Biden came out and said, no military men have died since he's been president. He said that. Reminds the media who actually started wars. Play it for me, Will.
Has Biden gone through now 4 years and not said the word Afghanistan? He's never said his son's name. He's never said any of the 13 service members' names. Steve's other son, so distraught at the loss of his brother, killed himself at his son's gravesite. The moral injury, not only to those families, but to every veteran, to all of us, who sacrificed so much time, treasure, our lives, my Green Berets that I think about every day. It's one thing to lose your men or women in combat, that happens, but to lose it due to incompetence and to literally idiotic and asinine decision-making out of that White House is something we, the veterans community, and certainly me, as long as I'm in this position and I have a breath, will never let them forget. And she owns it. She owns it. She was proud of it. She bragged about it. Now to try to pretend it didn't happen, to not even acknowledge it so far this week, and we won't hear the term Afghanistan. You'll hear Trump hundreds of times, but you won't hear any ownership of that debacle out of any one of the speakers this week.
And she does own it. It's on video because she said she was in the last, she was the last one in the room. Yep. When Joe Biden made the decision, the disastrous decision to pull out of Afghanistan the way that he did. Trump was pulling out. That was going to happen. It needed to happen. But you pull out correctly. Mm-hmm. When they tell you, you know what, we're going to give you Hamar, not Bagram, Harmi Kazai Airport, but I'm trying to remember the name of the city. But anyway, Kazai Airport, they tell you, that was the airport where all the people were falling off from 2,000 feet. They tell you, we're going to give it. I know everybody who watched this podcast, you already know this, but I want people to understand the timeline. Taliban tells you that we're going to give you that airport, that you can fly everybody out, and we're not going to touch it. And the Biden administration turns it down. There could have been a security perimeter around that airport, and nobody could get within a mile of it. And the Biden administration strangely turns it down as if they want people to die. They turn it down. And then, of course, they leave $86 billion worth of American high-tech military equipment on the ground. They desert Bagram Air Force Base, which is now occupied by the Chinese PLA. And they just had that big parade the other day with all of our equipment at Bagram. Not to mention, again, that they were warned about this Unabomber coming, and it absolutely, they knew 12 hours before. And even with that, why is that even an issue when they gave you the airport? And you turn it down. It's like you want Americans to die. It's Kabul. Thank you. In Kabul. So I get Bagram and Kabul.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kabul. Harmi Kazai Airport in Kabul. It was, thank you so much for that.
Yep.
Because it was on my mind, driving me crazy.
I know, me too.
Yeah. So... The Taliban does this. They say, "We'll give you the airport." All of these 13. Remember the average age? The average age was 21 of the 13 that died. Remember that? They'd all be alive right now if Biden would have said, "Well, of course we'll take the airport." Why wouldn't you? Explain to me. It's just like that was Rep. Michael Waltz that was speaking there. It's just like you said. You know what? Will's been in war over here to my right. He's been in war. People die in war. That's going to happen. There was no reason for somebody to die at a security detail in an airport. None. I mean, you expect people to die. And by the way, those are the first American soldiers killed in Afghanistan for 18 months because Trump said, you kill one American soldier, we're staying. And then I'll bomb the crap out of you. That's what he told the Taliban. So as soon as Biden's in control, the Taliban was still a little bit afraid. So they're like, we'll give you the Kabul airport. We'll give it to you. Biden goes, no, thank you. And then had all those refugees jumping onto C-130s landing gear, flying up until what happens to the landing gear? Does anybody know once you get to 1,000, 2,000 feet? It goes up.
Yep.
And all those people are just dropped to the ground. That's the Biden administration. That's Kamala Harris. And they sleep like babies at night. Could you? If you were Lloyd Austin, CENTCOM Commander Milley, Mark White Rage Milley, Would you really be able to sleep at night knowing that you knew 12 hours in advance that there was a Unabomber coming and you did freaking nothing? It's just like Michael Waltz said. People die in war. But for Americans to die because of asinine, idiotic decision-making or lack thereof is an atrocity. And in my opinion, borderline treasonous.
Mm-hmm.
And then in retribution, they go and kill a family of 10 of innocent people. Using a drone strike. Let's go to the next one. I'll stay on this all night long. I'll tell you what, that the Abby Gates stuff really pisses me off to no end.
Yeah.
Now, I'll try to be a little lighthearted now with the next one because I have to show you this. And I showed this on the pregame, and I just wanted to dissect it. I know it's kind of stupid, but I want to do it anyway. It's a Mario Knopfall video. It's titled Not SNL. And we put on there, Aaron put up a little graphic on the bottom. Is she drunk? Now, let everybody listen to Kamala Harris slur her words here. And this has not been edited. Play for me, Will.
I'm pointing to the direction of what I believe is the Capitol. And what needs to happen in terms of people who otherwise have evidenced themselves having a feckless quality to show some courage, to reject the false notion that suggests you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. When in fact it's just reasonable. I support the Second Amendment, but it's reasonable to say we need an assault weapons ban. It's reasonable to say we need universal background checks, that we need red flag laws. It's reasonable to say that if you want to deal with violence in the community, you also got to understand it's not only about mass shooting situations, which are horrific, and it's about everyday gun violence.
You're slurring her words. And by the way, if someone was talking to you, I mean, here's the thing. If you're giving like a speech and I talk in front of people all the time, obviously, I never sound like that. Ever. I mean, listen, everybody stumbles over words and whatever else. There's a big difference between stumbling over words and slurring your speech.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Nosen. Yeah, laws. What is she? I mean, she's drunk.
Yeah.
Absolutely drunk. And she might be president. And she's giving a speech. Yeah. Oh, the White House. It's someone over there. I mean, nobody talks like that. I mean, nobody who's giving speeches in front of human beings talks like that. She's obviously drunk. And by the way, that's drunk. And from, rumor has it, coming from people in her inner circle, she has a severe alcohol problem. Mm. So probably Hunter who brought in the cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
And Kamala, who's a drunk.
100%.
I would love to know the inner workings of that White House. I would love it. Oh, my gosh.
Must be a party.
These are the people with... Yeah, must be a party, Aaron said. Yeah. I mean, these are the people with their finger on the nuclear button. Ugh. Gosh, 9:44 already. All right, more on Kamala. Kamala's record now. Let's just start with this one. Overall inflation, Kamala's record. Just up 20%, 19.4%. Unbelievable. Listen to this. Play for me, Will.
Since she came into office with President Biden, overall inflation is up 19.4%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. More than 8.1 million migrants have illegally crossed the U.S. border, according to CBP. And there's been a 9.6% increase in total violent crime across 66 major cities, according to the Coalition of Law, Order, and Safety.
So while we're doing statistics, we'll go right to the next one. Will, Tim Young video. You know Kamala's economic plan is total trash when even CNN destroys it. Play for me.
Catherine, I read your piece and I heard you just mention it. The federal ban on price gouging for groceries. You are skeptical of this. Why?
Well, first of all, nobody can explain what price gouging means. It's like that old line about pornography. I know it when I see it, in the sense that what does it mean to have an excessive price or an excessive profit margin? That seems to be shorthand for a price or a profit margin that bugs me, that seems too high. So, you know, it's very hard to pin down what this would actually mean. If you look at the legislation that, as I mentioned, is already in the Senate, led by Senate Warren and Senator Bob Casey and a slew of others, the particular way that this is written, which is likely to be the template for any proposal that Harris would eventually embrace, is especially bad in that it just bans excessive prices, grossly excessive prices, grossly excessive profit margins, and says that the Federal Trade Commission can use any metric it deems appropriate to decide what that would mean, which basically says, like, it's not going to be markets, it's not going to be supply and demand that's determining how much your grocery store charges you for milk or for eggs. It's going to be some bureaucrat in D.C., which seems like totally unworkable, first of all, for the FTC to be deciding like how much Kroger charges for eggs in Michigan. But it also would be very bad for markets. We've seen this kind of thing tried in lots of other countries before: Venezuela, Argentina, the Soviet Union, etc. It leads to shortages. It leads to black markets. You know, plenty of uncertainty. And beyond that, the specific way this bill is written might actually increase prices because of some of the other language in it. Things like requiring companies, public companies, to disclose in their quarterly reports, their quarterly earnings reports, how they're setting prices, which is a great way to help them collude, which normally we don't want them to do. So anyway, you know, the devil's in the details, I guess, for that bill, but it's really hard for me to imagine any form of legislation that preserves the spirit of what she's proposing that would not be, you know, at best do nothing, at worst cause a lot of harm.
So if you don't know history, you're deemed to repeat it, right? So everywhere you've ever had price fixing, what do you have? Mass shortages and rationing, right? So here's the thing. Now, just the quick numbers here. Inflation up 19.4%. I can't remember who it was on the chat here talking about what the true rate. Oh, there it is. Mara Z, 19.4%, more like 50. That's correct. This is what they're willing to put out.
Yes.
This is not what's reality. And that's part of the reason why you have these idiots doing street interviews. And that, you know, like Don Lemon doing street interviews, the guy says, I have a lot less money than I used to have, and things are actually way more expensive. And Don Lemon goes, oh, no, they're not. Everything's great. Because these are the numbers that they're willing to release. 19.4%. That's overall inflation. Our groceries? Yeah. Everything's up 50, 60% in the grocery store. Everyone. 8.2 million are the official CBP numbers, but we know it's far higher than that, more like 17 million. Yeah. 9.4% violent crime across 66 major cities. It's actually up more like 37%. Because 44% of law enforcement agencies are no longer reporting their crimes to the Uniform Crime Report of the FBI. So they have no idea how far or how high up violent crime actually has, or how much violent crime has actually increased. They have no idea because it's simply not being reported anymore, which is status. That is status Washington, D.C. Just don't report it anymore. Just like, you can bring it back to me, just like job numbers. If you have 1,000 people looking for a job, right? 1,000 people looking for a job, and 900 out of 1,000 give up, so you got 100 people left and 50 of them get a job, they'll tell you that the unemployment rate has been cut in half.
Yeah.
Because only 100 people are looking for a job, but 900 gave up. Did everybody hear that? That's what they do. 1,000 people looking for a job, 50 people out of 1,000 get a job. But, well, first of all, what happened? 1,000 people looking for a job, 900 give up. Labor participation rate, 900 of them give up. So you only got 100 people looking for a job. 50 of them get a job and they'll tell you unemployment was cut in half.
Yep.
That's exactly what they do every time. That's what they're doing at the border. That's what they did with the jobs until they got caught by their own Bureau of Labor Statistics. They got caught and they have to revise down 818,000 jobs from their $1 million job claim got revised back down by 818,000 jobs. Let's go to the next one. Where am I at? Leading report tweet. Breaking: Kamala Harris's presidential campaign mandates up to, you have to have, in order you want to work for them. Here we are. Where are we at? People are always saying, oh, Tom, it's over. Really, it's over? 4 years? I don't know where we're at now. So it'd be April, May, June, July. I'll just say all of August. So 4 years and 5 months into 15 days to flat. So we say 4.5 years, 15 days to flatten the curve. Still, in order to work for the Biden-Harris Harris-Waltz campaign, you have to have an up-to-date vaccination. What's up-to-date? Your 10th in September.
Oh.
Well, yeah. You have to be vaxxed. You have to have your 10th vaccination to work for the Harris-Waltz campaign. And, of course, Cuckboy Tim, he's out there. He loves it. Timmy Waltz, I mean, he loves it. You know, the command sergeant major, who was never a command sergeant major. Yeah, Aaron's imitating his wave over there. Yeah. What does it mean? I mean, is he on cocaine when he goes out there? I mean.
He's on, like, shrooms.
He does, like, his bows and his. Yeah. What an idiot.
He's drinking with
Kamala. He's one of those people that was actually, like, see, I have no problem with nerds. Like, no problem. If a nerd knows they're a nerd, no problem. None at all. It's just like me being a redneck. I know I'm a redneck. I get it.
Yeah.
I get that I'm a redneck. I understand that. I'm fine. I ate chili cheese egg rolls. Mm. I mean, it was good. Real good. I mean, and fried shrimp. That's what I had for, I mean, I'm not eating, again, like I said last, I'm not eating foie gras. I'm not eating that. I mean, I am what I am. I have no problem with it. Listen, even though he fought in a war, he's a Star Wars nerd. He is. You got one of those, like, stormtroopers at your house. No, you will. You have one of those, like.
I did.
He did. Was it gone now?
My son couldn't hand it when he's little, so I had to return it.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, life size. It was great. Loved it.
He had a life. Is it stormtrooper? Is that
yeah,
the right?
Stormtrooper.
Okay, stormtrooper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Will actually had one at his house.
I have a Darth Vader action figure in my backpack.
He has a Darth Vader action figure in your current backpack right now. Yes. There you go. See, but Will doesn't have a problem with it. He acknowledges it. He fought in a war. He's a Marine. Fought in a war. He's a man's man. But he's a geek. I mean, he's a Star Wars geek. I have no problem with that. He admits it. It is what it is, right? I mean, that's great. I have absolutely no problem with it. Tim Waltz is one of those people that is an absolute idiot and a nerd and never admits it.
Yeah.
And this is his chance to finally have lordship over all the people that hate him.
Yep.
That's all that he cares about. All right, where am I at, Will? Nick Sorter?
Yes, sir.
Nick Sorter tweet, breaking. The U.S. Supreme Court, this was sent to me by Will, has blocked the Biden-Harris administration's effort to change Title IX in 4 schools. This is great news. To make men shower with them, to force schools to allow men to shower with women. So we were going to have Biden-Harris and now Harris-Waltz. We're going to 4 schools. I mean, get this now. I was a school resource officer and school resource officer supervisor for most of my career in law enforcement. Most of my career. People were so sensitive about ever exposing themselves to liability. And you're going to have, and most, of course, most people in education are half-witted leftards. That's the truth. But you, but always were very guarded about liability, like somebody calling somebody the wrong name or somebody calling somebody gay or whatever it may be. But all of those same people that were hyper-litigious and hyper-conscious, you know, about liability were perfectly, were happily marching into allowing men to shower with women. In other words, male students, male juvenile students showering with female juvenile students. That's what the, that's what was going to happen if Trump didn't win over the SCOTUS. If Trump didn't appoint Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Coney Barrett. And I'm not big fans of Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh half the time, but they did right here. So what was going to happen was you're going to have boys showering. What I mean, I'm talking about for like high school. You're talking about men for all intents and purposes. Men showering with women.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, oh, you know, Aaron goes, hey, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah. When you have a 16-year-old boy showering with a 16-year-old girl, what could ever go wrong? Mm. Nothing, of course. men to take academic and athletic scholarships from women. That's what Harris wants. That's what she wants. So easy to defeat her in a debate. I hope Trump studies up. Trump just likes to go off the top of his head. I hope he studies up because he just needs a few zingers. All you got to do is ask her these questions. So you are in favor, right, Kamala, of Title IX forcing schools to allow men to shower with women, to have men take academic scholarships from women. But aren't you an advocate for women? For men to be housed in women's dorms, this was all going to be forced upon schools and universities.
Yep.
But the Supreme Court came through. Congratulations to them on that. All right, let's go to the next one. Benny Johnson video. This is all still on. Can't believe it's already 9:55 already. More on Kamala. House GOP report says Joe Biden committed. It's on Joe Biden, but, you know, this is all. Harris was right there the whole time. Joe Biden committed impeachable offenses while in office, and the Biden family has received, I know this is old news, but I wanted to make sure everybody heard it, $27 million from foreign individuals and entities. Play for me, Will.
This is a Fox News alert. All new this morning, House Republicans finding President Biden and his family received more than $27 million from foreign individuals and entities since 2014. Lawmakers call it an impeachable conduct. Brooke Singman is in Chicago with this story. Brooke, good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, Ainsley. I obtained a copy of this 292-page report from House Republicans. They're on the House Oversight, Judiciary, and Ways and Means Committees, and they've been leading this impeachment inquiry against President Biden for months. So they said their investigation found that President Biden engaged in impeachable conduct and said he abused his office and, quote, defrauded the United States to enrich his family. Republicans revealed that since 2014, the Biden family and its associates received more than $27 million from foreign individuals and entities. They also found that while Biden was serving as vice president, the Biden family got more than $8 million in loans from Democratic benefactors. And they say those loans have not been repaid. So this report says in part, quote, as vice president, President Biden actively participated in a conspiracy by, among other things, attending dinners with his family's foreign business partners and speaking to them by phone, often when being placed on speakerphone by Hunter Biden. Republicans are calling out a 2014 dinner that Hunter Biden and his father attended with a Russian oligarch. After that dinner, the oligarch wired $3.5 million to Hunter Biden's firm. Now, this report says, quote, several witnesses testified that Hunter Biden invoked his father in business dealings with Romanian, Chinese, Kazakhstani, and Ukrainian companies, resulting in millions of dollars flowing to the Biden family. They're also calling out Biden for his handling of classified documents. House Republicans are now calling for Biden to be impeached. Ainsley.
All right. So let's look at this real quick. So the Biden administration got $27 million from Romania, China, Ukraine, Russia, and Kazakhstan that we know of. So let's ask now, what did the Biden family provide? This is what you ask Kamala Harris. This is what you ask her. Tell us, what did they provide? And what goods and services? Now, if you... somebody spends $27 million and they spend it for services for one of your 23 shell companies that the Bidens had. It's Frank, James, Valerie, Hunter, and Joe, the big guy, getting 10%. Or according to Hunter, 10% on one deal, but 50% of his total income that he sent to Ashley Biden, who we know Joe showered with as a teenager. But anyway, Who introduced him, by the way, at the DNC. That was Ashley Biden who introduced Joe Biden, yep. The girl that he showered with and likely molested. But, you know, we'll leave it at that.
So
but anyway,
weird.
These people are so freaking out there. You want to talk about just believing in lizard people, which I don't, but I'm just saying.
It was
these
weird.
People are so freaking out there.
It was weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, it's weird. And it was like a pretty long embrace, too, like lovers reunited.
They like kissed
and stuff. Yeah, it was like, I mean, it's pretty weird. Okay, but anyway. So if you spent $27 million, I just have to ask, what products, what goods or services did those 23 shell companies provide? Mm-hmm. They provided nothing. Mm. Not one good or services. So it had to be political influencing. It had to be influence peddling because that's the only good or service that they could have provided. And that's all felonious crimes. Well, nobody can prove that Joe Biden got anything out of that $27 million. Doesn't matter. If he influence peddled for his family, that's a felonious crime. And how many of those crimes did he commit? It's not just against the law for him to influence peddle on his, using his political office to influence peddle. That's not only a crime if he does it for himself. It's a crime if he does it for any family member or friend. That's it. Doesn't matter. And he did. You have numerous testimonies of Joe Biden on these Zoom calls, on these conference calls, and in actual meetings with Hunter. Poroshenko, Hunter, and Joe were on a conference call together. It's part of the public record at the White House.
Yeah.
So you have Romania, China, Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan, $27 million to the 23 Biden shell companies for what? Name the goods or services, Kamala. I'd like to know. And then here's the other thing I'd like to ask everybody in the room, with the exception of one young man in the room, all of us in here have had loans.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, right? Mm-hmm. We all have loans. Yep. You got a loan right now? I got a loan right now. Don't you? Okay, there you go. I'd love to be debt-free, but I'm not. There you go. I'm always transparent. I don't care what anybody thinks. So my question is, have you guys ever gotten a loan you didn't have to repay? I mean, for me, I mean, I'm sitting here going,
no.
I'm not talking about your dad loaned you $20 and then said, hey, I'm talking about a loan from a bank.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Or any business.
No.
Okay, because I can tell you right now, I've been on the same mortgage for 20 years, and you know what? I always got to pay that thing. I never got a call from them saying, you know what? You don't have to pay it back. I never got that call. It's weird, though, because the Bidens got $8 million worth of loans, and they didn't have to pay them back. How are they loans and not bribes?
Huh.
Their loans, they said their loans, $8 million worth of loans. Out of that $27 million, $8 million of it was loans. And they never had to pay one dime back out of $8 million. And somehow Hunter's broke, by the way. He has to sell paintings.
I wonder what their interest rate was.
$8 million loan, but you don't have to pay it. So I guess 0.0 interest loan for a loan you never have to repay.
Crazy.
$8 million of them. If I didn't pay back, I think I mortgaged my house for, at the time, was $230,000, $240,000, something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But anyway, if I didn't pay that back, I'd be living on the street. Mm-hmm. They got $8 million worth of loans they never paid back. Wow. And nobody cares. I mean, just imagine if we had a real media.
Yeah.
Imagine if we had a real media. Man, it'd be great. It'd be so entertaining to live here. All right. Last on moron Kamala. Here's Nicole Shanahan. This is the VP candidate along with RFK Jr. Here's 14 seconds of what she has to say about them possibly merging with Trump campaign. Play for me, Will.
I have to say there's only one party that has obstructed a fair election for us. And unfortunately, it was the Democratic Party. They've done everything they can, including creating PACs to prevent us from being able to have ballot access.
So again, the defenders of democracy, the people that try to defend democracy, all they do is try to take people off ballots. They tried to take Trump off of ballots. They tried to take another Democrat off the ballot. What are they so afraid of with RFK Jr.? I mean, he's just a traditional liberal.
Yeah.
What are you so afraid of? He's against vaccines. How's that going to affect you? That doesn't affect you at all. He's against vaccines. But they were so afraid of him, they created PACs, super PACs, to get him off of ballots. These are the defenders of democracy. They're always saying, we're here to defend our democracy. We need to keep Trump out of the Oval Office to protect our democracy. Oh, what? Again, see, it's the same thing. They have their own personal oligarchies. They rename them America and democracy. And if you attack their own oligarchy, like the Biden family, the Biden crime family, 23 shell companies, $27 million so far, it's been proven that they were given. They call that America. And if you attack it, you're attacking America. That's the same thing with Anthony Fauci and his redacted emails. He, his own little oligarchy where he's been in his little office, his position for 50 years. He calls that America, his little oligarchy, where he is at the NIAID for 50 years. Institute of Infectious Diseases, right? He's supposed to be curing diseases. He never cures one, but he's there 50 years, right? Only it does kill a lot of people, though, including a lot of people with AIDS. Kills a lot of people. We got that. So he calls his own little kingdom there America. And if you attack it, or if you want his redacted emails, well, you're attacking America because we want your redacted emails. It's the same exact stuff they pull. They're the ones who try to pull. So their version of America is banning people from ballots. Their version of America is prosecuting your political adversaries. You're not only prosecuting them, but Bannon, Navarro, Michael Flynn, Roger Stone all go to jail. Your political adversaries, and that you're locking up, you're imprisoning your political adversaries, and you call it democracy. So simply, what they call democracy is the opposite of democracy. But if you attack it, you're attacking democracy. This is the games that they play. They're banning speech, and they say it's democracy. My wife just got banned off of Facebook because she called Michael Obama Mike. I meant Michael Obama, by the way.
Yeah.
She called Mike. She said Michael Obama. She got banned off. Why can't she? If Mike Obama wants to sue her, she can sue her. Go ahead. Of course, you're going to have to prove you're actually a female then, Mike. Somebody's going to have to take you into a bathroom somewhere. You have to have some physician there. You're going to have to hike it down. Then, well, I guess we'll all finally know, won't we?
No, gosh. I don't want to know.
So there you go. So that's the... Darren, just get it out of your head. I can't. Just wash it out of your head.
I can't.
You know, just like the movie The Hangover.
It's
you just gotta
stuck.
Got to get it out of your head. Just got to get it out of your head.
It's stuck.
Got to just do it. Take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. But anyway, got to do it. But anyway, so that's the game they play. So you have the VP candidate running with RFK Jr. telling you the only people that we had problems with as far as the election are the people that say they're all for election integrity. You have Mark Elias going all over the country defending election integrity by what? Banning the requirement of IDs, banning the requirement of signature verification. And he is protecting the integrity of elections. He's protecting voter rights by allowing people who have no rights to vote, vote. He's protecting the rights of those who have no right to vote, to vote. See the flip? He's saying that he's for voter rights. Mark Elias, Perkins Coie, behind the whole collusion hoax. Same person. Met with Brad Raffensperger 8 months before the election in Georgia, making it impossible to adjudicate ballots. Brad Raffensperger, Tom, he's a Republican. No, he's not. He's a Democratic Party operative shill. But Mark Elias travels the country, and he says that giving people who have no right to vote, he says that giving them the right to vote is election integrity. So if you attack it, you're attacking election integrity, but it's actually the opposite. See how the game works? Let me show you this real quick before we go. 6 minutes into overtime right now. I'm going to be done by, I'll be done by 10:12, I'm done. 10:12, 6 minutes, I'm done. All right, so let's go. Mike Benz first. Mike Benz tweet. Kind of weird. Total subject change here, going to the Trump shooting. Kind of weird, a 20-year-old kid, we'll read the bottom first. Trump shooter Thomas Crooks from New York Post, second oldest paper in the United States of America. Trump shooter Thomas Crooks had encrypted messaging accounts in Belgium, Germany, and New Zealand.
Impressive.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thomas Crooks had encrypted messaging. By the way, he did. This is the truth. Because there's way more to Thomas Crooks than you think. It's not that he's some genius. By the way, he is no incredibly stupid, moronic person, by the way. There's videos of him. He's perfectly lucid. Perfect for recruitment. A nerdy, lucid person. But the New York Post says, this is verified. Unlike Facebook, who's supposed to be a platform. New York Post is not a platform. They're a publisher. They get sued if this is wrong. This is absolutely true. Thomas Crooks had encrypted messaging accounts in Belgium. The guy who shot Donald Trump, Germany, and New Zealand. Mike Benz said, Mike Benz, former in the CIA, kind of weird, say a CIA analyst, kind of weird a 20-year-old in Pennsylvania shooting guns at the same range used by the DHS had encrypted messaging accounts in Belgium, an account in Belgium where NATO is headquartered. It's weird, isn't it? It's almost like it's a globalist plot against Trump. You had Thomas Crooks. Let's just go down the lineage real quick before we jump off this slide. Let's go down the lineage. So here it is. Thomas Crooks, somehow there's a perimeter at the Trump shooting. I got to do this quick because I said 10-12. There's a perimeter, 200-yard perimeter, security perimeter at the Butler, Pennsylvania Trump rally, right? But weirdly, there's a 60-yard indentation allowing for the most, the highest point, the most valuable building for a shooter to situate themselves. That, for some reason, was not secured in a 200-yard perimeter. They had a 60-yard indentation allowing for that Crooks building to not be secured when it's the building that is most needed to be secured, right? So that happens. Thomas Crooks, somehow also, they found explosive devices both in his backpack and in his car. So somehow this man is able, 20-year-old, is able to build explosive devices. Now, all of his social media accounts were wiped clean,
yep,
according to the FBI.
Yep.
Not the FBI didn't say they wiped them clean. They said they were wiped clean.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know the FBI wiped them clean, and so nobody can go and find out anything about Thomas Crooks.
Exactly.
But lo and behold, so the building that was most needed to be secured wasn't. Got that. He has explosive devices. So now he needs to hone his shooting skills, his marksman skills. So where does he go? To the DHS range. DHS, who is over the Secret Service. And on that day, outside of Trump's detail, there was only 3 Secret Service agents there and the rest were DHS agents. And where Crooks, and of course, CNN had not covered any Trump rally for a couple months, suddenly shows up at this one.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird, because you got to have Hitler, you got to have Goebbels media. Mm-hmm. So you have Crooks doing his sniper training where the Secret Service trains, DHS trains, and or Secret Service. You're like, Tom, nobody would be that obvious. Demons aren't smart folks. They're just zealous. They just are full of zeal. They're very committed, but they're not smart. And a lot of these people, a lot of them are still old school. It's like Dan Bongino says about the Secret Service. You know, yesterday's technology, tomorrow is what the Secret Service uses. They're behind the times. They don't get that. It's going to be easy. If I let Aaron loose, I just said, you don't have to worry about worship leader duties here at the church for a week. You don't have to worry about, Will will run the podcast for a week. Deep dive. Find me everything you can find on anything.
Oh,
he
man.
Would come back.
Oh, man.
Because to somebody who has any tech savvy at all, it's over. It's absolutely over. We can find everything.
Mm-hmm.
So lo and behold, after all of that, Thomas Crooks, it's from a town outside of Butler, but I don't remember what town was, but with his dad who solely lives on Mountain Dews and Twinkies, if you ever seen the guy, somehow this guy builds bombs, does his sniper training at the DHS facility, somehow ends up on the building that is the most needed to be secured.
Yes.
Advantageous, yep.
Yep. And then, lo and behold, turns out that he has encrypted messaging accounts in Belgium, which is where NATO is headquartered. Training with the Secret Service DHS on the building that is most needed to be secured, somehow is inside the perimeter, has encrypted accounts in Germany, Belgium, and New Zealand, and builds bombs. And everyone thinks this is a unisniper. Don't think so. This was a plot, obviously. And now it's all come out now about there was 10 total shots. 8 by Crooks, 2 by counter sniper teams. One was a local cop who shot Crooks his butt of his rifle. I don't know if anybody's heard this yet. This is what happened. So the first sniper shot was a local cop who shot the butt of his rifle. And then he was finished off by a Secret Service sniper. So here's the thing. I mean, again, I'm not alleging anything. All these guys could be heroes. But was it to make sure that Crooks never talked?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I'm believing right now both cops were heroes because I just have to still stay that way. But obviously it was an inside job. Look at it. Look at all the information. All right, let's go to the next one. I have to show you this because it's funny. You guys can just side by side this. Ian Miles Chong video. This kid right here was arrested with this Palestinian flag. You're like, good. Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. He's an idiot. Deserved to be arrested if you're going to wear that stupid thing around your neck. But anyway, he's a drone. He was flying a drone outside the DNC. Didn't threaten anybody with it, but he was flying a drone outside the DNC. Who else? Let's see. Who was flying a drone outside the Trump rally? Never got arrested. And we didn't even know. But if it's outside the DNC, outside the DNC, lo and behold, there's a whole lot of security for drones. If it's a Trump rally, zero security for drones. So this looks like he's somewhere like 14, 16 years of age. He's out there flying a drone in an innocuous fashion, wasn't trying to do anything wrong, but it's simple, he violated DNC airspace. He gets arrested.
Yeah.
But the airspace around the Trump rally, which is the same airspace you're not allowed to violate using drones or any other airborne craft, you're allowed to do whatever you want if it's a Trump rally. But if it's DNC, you get arrested as a 14-year-old for flying a drone. Flying a drone. Let's go to the next one. Just have to show you this out of the Secret Service. Make sure you follow these people like Mike Benz and Julie Kelly. These people are in the freaking know. Julie Kelly tweet, records appear, I'm already 2 minutes into over my prediction, records appear to confirm the Secret Service thwarted the internal investigation into the deleted text messages of several Secret Service officials from January 6th and also attempted to withhold documents from IG Joseph Kafari. So they withheld documents. The Secret Service thwarted an internal investigation and withheld documents from their own inspector general. The top DHS officials then demanded that the IG report be fully redacted. Get this now. DHS demands that their own IG internal inspector general report be fully redacted with the exception of the report's title before being released to the public.
Useful.
So you would get, I wish I had like a, I wish I could block, black out a whole sheet and just show you. So you would get a title only that would say January 6th on top of January, Secret Service activity on January 6th, and then the rest of it, all black lines. That's what the DHS was actually going to release, which, by the way, we saw that with the release of, I think it was from the NIH about the vaccine. Remember, they released a report about it and every line was blacked out. That was what they did.
Mm-hmm.
DHS also wanted partial redactions in the report sent to Congress. So the people who are in charge of overseeing you only get a redacted report. Further records also show the DHS wanted Biden's White House General Counsel involved in reviewing the final report. This appears to be highly unusual in the Inspector General process, which is supposed to be independent from outside influence. Why is the White House talking to DHS and DHS talking to White House?
Mm-hmm.
I thought these were all independent agencies. I remember how we heard that the White House was independent from the DOJ and the DOJ was independent from the White House, and the White House wasn't telling. Although they dispatched Michael Colangelo to go persecute Donald Trump via prosecution in New York City with the whole Stormy Daniels case. Remember that? These are all supposed, why would the White House General Counsel be talking to DHS about the Secret Service deleting all of their text messages on January 6th? And then Kim Cheadle, at the time, the director of the Secret Service, saying that they weren't deleted. It was just simply data migration.
Yeah.
On 1-6, which, by the way, we've documented before, because they only came up with that data migration excuse 3 months later. And by the way, they weren't all deleted on 1-6. They were actually all deleted a month or two after that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So how was it a data migration on 1-6 that wiped out all of these texts when the data migration was on 1-6, but all the texts were still 100% still there a month or two later? So they put out, they dimed themselves out. They said the data migration was on 1-6. But all of the text messages still existed 60 days later. So how were they deleted via data migration on 1-6 when they all still existed 60 days later? And then why is the White House counsel supposed to be independent talking to DHS about the Secret Service? The general counsel for DHS's longtime Biden crony, what a shock, Jonathan Meyer. He worked for Biden. So you have the general counsel for the DHS working with the general counsel for the White House. Oh, we're going to get a lot of transparency then, aren't we? He worked for Biden in the Senate, then Obama, DOJ, and DHS. Go to the next one, Will. Meyer has been advising Biden for decades. Why would he demand the White House general counsel review an IG report into 1-6? So you have a Biden attorney inside of DHS asking the White House general counsel to review the DHS's report. Again, I'm trying to think of something that would be akin to, but I can't. It would be like this. If I was allegedly a tax cheat and my own attorney was calling the shots for IRS, recall that records disclosed in the FLA classified documents case showed that Biden's White House General Counsel's office met with NARA officials. This is Trump's case in Mar-a-Lago, the classified records case. NARA officials in 2021 to try to concoct some sort of documents case against Donald Trump, which, by the way, approves an assertion that I've been making for months, that Biden actually met with NARA. Biden's White House counsel met with the National Archives and had the archives send a request to the Bidens to asking for these records that they knew were down at Mar-a-Lago. The same sort of Potomac two-step they pull all the time. All right, go to the next one for me. This is the final thing. I just wanted to show you one last time. Here's Kim Cheadle on the disappearance of these text messages. Play it for me.
She would know. The 28-year veteran was on the team that evacuated Vice President Dick Cheney on 9/11, and she served on then-Vice President Biden's protective detail. He named her director in mid-2022. USA! Amid a swirl of controversy over the agency deleting nearly all of its text messages from January 6th, the agency says that was due to a data migration.
System migrations happen. But I think for a lot of Americans, it just doesn't pass the smell test, given the timing and the volume of messages deleted.
Well, it's unfortunate that that would be the assumption that people would make. Our integrity is everything, and there was nothing nefarious attached to that.
Their integrity means everything, and they have their own attorneys working with the White House attorney to come together with some sort of cumulative report between the White House counsel and the independent DHS IG and attorney. But yet their integrity means everything to them. And they said that there was a data migration on 1/6 that deleted all of these text messages. And Will just said a minute ago, and he's a tech guy, that you don't just have data migrations that happen out of the blue, like a thunderstorm in Florida. Oh my gosh, there's a storm coming. No, you know about a data migration 6 months in advance. This is a weather report. 6 months in advance, you know it. But even that's even a false claim. We decided for some nefarious reason to have a data migration on 1/6 that deleted all these emails. But 2 months later, those emails, as testified to by whistleblowers, were still in existence. So they weren't deleted. They were deleted 60 to 90 days after 1/6. Yep. And then Cheadle claimed that they were deleted on 1/6 when they were actually deleted months after 1/6.
Yep.
She's a liar and treasonous, whatever else we want to put on her. All right, that's it. 10:21. It's about the exact same time I stopped last night. I said 9 minutes. 9 minutes over what I said. But it's not official yet. Aaron said it's not official until I actually stop talking.
Yep.
So it's not over yet.
It's not over until the commercial starts.
Until the commercial starts. Between now and the postcard. All right, Rumble Rants, Nude Monk, Christopher Arnott, Itchy McGroin, Chopper Supernut, Tammy L. Margreter, Naz Yeager, guys, thank you so much. Thank you. Seriously. I hope it never gets routine. I really mean it. Thank you so much. Love you guys. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Stick around for it. Back here tomorrow night. It's officially 10:22. There you go. 10:22. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you. That if you did what God wanted you to do every day, for years, you would never see your prayers go unanswered. And I mean specifically. I don't mean, well, yeah, they were answered, but it really wasn't what I wanted, so I'm getting the deep meaning out of it. No! I'm talking about specifically what you want. If you did what you're supposed to do every day for years, they would get all of your prayer requests and all the answers would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger just sitting under the Word of God. There's nobody, you know, I tried that. You didn't try it but for a week. You didn't try it but for a month. You didn't try it but for a year. You go to anybody who's done it year after year after year. They, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, never stumble. Never.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.